This is PHP BB Weekly, episode number 141, recorded live on Saturday, February 13, 2010. Star Trek Guides Final Frontier.
Welcome to Star Trek Guide Weekly, where we discuss everything related to Star Trek Guide. I'm your host, Michael Williams. Our former host, Douglas Bell, is thankfully locked out of his account and unable to join the discussion today. We are sad to say Douglas Bell has retired.
Mainly because we kicked him out.
Let's please take a moment of silence in his honor. Okay, that's long
silence.
Enough. No big deal. I do have other co-hosts with me today. Francis Lewis.
How you doing, guys?
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Me? No. I don't introduce myself. I sneak onto the scene.
Okay, and that works. And joining me is very technically challenged special guest, administrator from Star Trek Guide, David Lewis.
Hello. It seems we've been kicked out of the show now.
And with
Star
him,
Trek Guide takeover.
And with him, Jeff Bernicke.
Jeff Benke.
Benke.
Right. Some of you got it right.
Yep. All right, well, we have some exciting topics today that we will be discussing. Topics that I know everybody has been dying to hear, but the former hosts of this podcast were too scared to discuss. Michael, what are our topics today?
Global warming, religion, politics, the best browser, the fastest growing chicken trade in China. And how to suck a hard-boiled egg into a beer bottle.
Yes, this podcast will be about, I'm really looking forward to the topic about the fastest-growing chicken trade in China.
So, global warming. What does everybody think about it today?
It's real. Definitely real.
It is definitely real, especially this year.
This year, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, no snow.
Why do you say that?
No snow on the ground. Very
That's
simple.
Just because we have an El Nino.
No, it's because of global warming. The last 2 years, we did not have global warming. This year, we do.
It could be because we are lacking cars in the road because nobody has jobs. And it's actually in reverse effect.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that's why the East Coast is getting pummeled with snow while we have nothing. You know, they're actually trucking snow into the Whistler for the Olympics.
The Olympics, yes. Yeah, they haven't gotten enough snow up there, so they're having to truck snow in. Meanwhile, Washington, D.C. has been paralyzed with snow. They just got dumped another, 10 to 20 inches of snow on their existing 30 inches of snow that they got last week. So and Nashville, our former home, received another pummeling of snow.
Okay, we can stop talking about snow now.
In the 12 years that we lived in Nashville, we never got that much snow down there. Never. Meanwhile, up here, we're lacking snow.
Okay, moving on. Religion.
Religion is horrible. Don't even talk about it. We can just keep moving.
Let's start this off with a little prayer, shall we? Lord, we beseech thee, have mercy on our podcast today. Amen. Okay, let's move on. On to politics.
Politics. President Barack Obama has...
Oh, I don't want to talk about him. Okay, moving on. The best browser.
IE6.
Firefox.
You're crazy.
IE5.
If I was the host, I'd be kicking you right now, but somehow I'm not the host.
Jeff?
I'm going to have to go with IE6 also.
IE6 just gets the vote.
No, you know, I actually like IE5 better than IE6. It's a lot easier to work with.
IE5 was available for Mac. IE6 hasn't, so yeah, I think IE5 definitely gets the vote for that reason.
Okay, IE5 is our winner today. Okay, next topic.
Now, Jeff, you've been talking about the chicken trade in China. Would you like to explain what's going on with that?
Well, apparently because of our economic deficit that we're in, we are disrupting the chicken trades in China.
Wow, disrupting it? I thought it would be booming right now.
Well, what happened is we actually are in deficit to them as far as how much we trade with them. And because our economy is down, they are not selling the chickens that they normally sell.
Chicken sounds really good right now. Just like coffee.
So last year when it was booming, it is now on a downswipe, and they're complaining.
So that's why we have a shortage of sweet and sour chicken and General Tso's chicken right now. Kung Pao chicken, too. Okay.
All the good Chinese dishes.
Yes,
I love Chinese food, by the way.
Well, now you just have to go buy your own chickens and raise them in your backyard and eat them, raise them.
I like Chinese.
Maybe your horses will get along with your new chickens, David and Francis.
Yeah, right. They'll chase them around. Which brings us to what chickens lay. Eggs.
What happens when you
boil an egg? You make a hard-boiled egg. What should you do with that hard-boiled egg?
Well, this brings us to our final topic of the day. How to suck a hard-boiled egg into a beer bottle.
Jeff? Now,
does anybody here know how to do that? This is a burning question here. We have to know.
It's called Watch Mythbusters.
So, Jeff, how do you suck a hard-boiled egg into a beer bottle?
It's actually pretty easy. You obviously got to empty a beer bottle, and then you...
Do you drink the contents?
Yes.
That's optional, but you should.
It makes the experiment a lot better.
Or at least your perception of the experiment.
Yeah, exactly.
We are not
influencing people to drink on this show.
Drop a lit match into the beer bottle and set the egg on top, and once the oxygen is sucked out of the bottle, the egg gets sucked in.
That would be really interesting to watch. Does the egg, sort of morph into the bottle and it's whole by the time it comes in, or does it sort of disintegrate on its way in?
Or, transport into the bottle?
I believe when I seen it done, it just kind of sucked in real quick.
It is sort of like... Right? There's Michael Williams' cell phone. So, that's one interesting cell phone ring. So, in all realism, this was a prank.
Okay, well, that's our show for today. Thanks for listening. If you'll excuse me, we've got some...
Hey, co-host, this is my show. Don't be talking. Thank you for joining Star Trek Guide Weekly, where we discuss everything related to Star Trek Guide. Please join us next week for a very short episode. This is your host, Michael Williams, reporting out.
All right. Yes. Okay. So, everybody, welcome to actually what this show is really about, PHPBB Weekly. I'm your co-host, David Lewis. Douglas Bell has been indisposed of. Actually, he's decided to sleep today, so he's pulling a David Lewis on us. I'm from Washington State, of course. Got with me Michael Williams, who you've heard, Francis Lewis, and from Wisconsin, Jeff Benke of the Cheese State. So
that's just cheese right there.
So a couple of topics to discuss. There is not any.
These are our real topics here.
Yes, these are real topics.
We're not going to be talking about chicken in China.
No new news from PHPBB, except that 3.0.7 RC1 has been released, obviously, to the QA team. And so good opportunity if you're on the QA team to go ahead and test that to help them get going. I did notice an interesting change in 3.0.8. They added the actually, let me go look that up. They added a new database abstraction layer driver for Microsoft's native SQL server driver for PHP. So,
nothing really major in this release, just a lot of bug fixes, but that new driver is definitely interesting.
That is interesting, although I don't use Microsoft's SQL server.
So. Well, hopefully nobody does, but hey, you never know.
It's there anyway, in case people want to use it. That will hopefully be included in 3.0.8, says Naderman, and he says, if you are using SQL Server, please test the new driver so that they can safely include it in 3.0.8. If you want to try it on a current PHPBB version, you can apply the latest version of the patch to your board, which you can find attached to the bug tracker ticket, ticket ID 57055, and look in the comments for the latest version. So that's the only interesting thing coming in for PHPBB. So our topics today are going to be the WSBI CMS. We'll tell you about what that is, what motivates a developer to take on a mod inspired by an interesting topic that we were discussing on phpbb.com.
No, you just made it sound like that was one topic. Okay, our first topic is the WSBI CMS. The next topic is what motivates a developer to take on a mod, okay, which is inspired by a topic on phpbb.com.
Yeah. So, Michael, we've been hearing about the WSBI CMS for a while, and I know Douglas has been dying to hear about it. What is it, and when will it be released?
Well, it'll be released when it's ready. No.
No release date.
Hopefully, you know, I was saying this weekend, but obviously that didn't happen. Hopefully we can get something out soon. I mean, it's almost ready for release. It's just got a couple minor...
Well, you can actually...
things we need to finish up and testing to do, so...
People can...
If you are interested...
Run it, right? I mean, it is in a...
You can run it, yes. Basically, WSBI CMS is a simple yet powerful CMS system right now.
Powered by the PHPBB backend.
Framework.
Yep.
Basically, the user and database management is all we're using from PHPBB 3.
And the template engine.
And the template engine, of course. But WSBI CMS will allow you to create a simple website, like, for example, PHPBB modders.
Even phpbb.com could be created.
Even phpbb.com. Yep. It has simple pages, yet complex pages, so you can create a bug system with WSBI integration. And
so you could create pages with static content, or you can also create dynamic pages, depending on how you set it up.
Correct. We also have some modifications to the PHPBB 3 template engine that we will be implementing here soon, which will allow you to create plugins specifically for the template so that you can put template codes in your template that
anywhere.
Will call PHP functions or methods and display the data, so to say.
Yeah, essentially you can there's two ways that you can use those template codes. One is to put two of them on either side of content within the template, and that content will be thrown back to the plugin, which will then do whatever it does to that content, and then it will spit it back out to the template.
So basically how it works is it will be a special tag that you can place in the page creator on the ACP. If the page parser comes across those tags, it will try to find the class that runs that and call the method. The method will then return that content. For example, say you want to display news from a different from a forum or something like that, you can put some template tags in your page and everything will display.
Yeah, and the plugin is included without... See, the only changes that you... the only edits that you actually make are the insertion of the template code. But that loads up the plugin externally, so you don't... the plugin itself does not require any edits to the core code to either WSBI or PHPBB.
Yes, and WSBI can run pretty much any way you want it to. It is built to run outside the PHPBB
directory.
However, with all these fancy features, it does come with a high requirements tag, that being PHP 5.2 or greater.
That's
mod rewrites.
Everybody should be running PHP 5.2.
That is true.
If you're not running PHP 5.2, please upgrade now so you can use the WSBI CMS.
You know, I was reading a topic
and
last...
you do have to have mod rewrite right now, which
is,
mod
rewrite
is, I know,
important.
Unfortunate, but we did not want to take the time to develop for both, so we just went with mod rewrite.
Mod rewrite is done so that you can use those human-readable URLs. And it has a router system attached to the system. And eventually, eventually you can run, you will be able to run it without mod rewrite, but right now it's set up so that you have to use mod rewrite. It was interesting, I was reading that topic on phpv.com about the requirements that they're switching to PHP 5.2 or above for any future PHPPV 3 versions. And there was somebody who posted in there yesterday about the fact that Yahoo small business account is running PHP 4.3.11.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah. Yeah, 4.3.11 is their... Is, yes, exactly. Jim A said, I read a topic at .com. They proudly present 4.3.11. Let me tell you this. If your hosting company, in this case, Yahoo Small Business, proudly presents PHP 4.3.11, which is over 5 years old, you need to run from them like the plague. Reason why? If they are not concerned enough with updating their software and keeping things secure, you don't know what else they might not be updating, or what else, you know, what other kinds of things that they're running that they might not be updating. So run from them. Just get away from them. Do send them a complaint telling them the reason that you are no longer going to be using Yahoo Small Business hosting is because their PHP version is 5 years out of date. Oh, yes, and MySQL 4.1. They're not even running MySQL 5 yet. So their software is over 5 years out of date. Tell them that. And hopefully it will get them to eventually change their MO to actually run updated software. But in the meantime, switch to another host that actually runs current updated software, either 5.2 point something or 5.3 would be sufficient. No 5.1, no 5.0, no 4 point anything. 4 point anything is out of date.
Now, when did they proudly present 4.3.11?
Right now.
Wow, okay. So 4.3.11 was released March 31st, 2005.
Yeah.
So that's about 5 years old.
Yep.
The latest 4 release was 4.4.9 on August 7, 2008. So they are really out of date, even with PHP 4 standards, which is discontinued as of December 31st, 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they were really out of date.
Yeah. So and that person asked, you know, what should I do? Well, run, you know, switch hosts. That's the solution. It really is. I hate to say it, but that is the solution. So
anyways, back to WSBI. some other cool stuff that we have in there is a custom module system, and we backported some of the features from the PHPBB3 old trunk, which was supposed to be PHP 3.2.
Okay, yeah, eventually 3.2. It was 3.1.
And
so what does that custom modules do?
The custom modules basically is a non-database driven module system for a more so of a MVC layout, you could say. We're really trying to take development to a different stage with WSBI, and hopefully this will inspire everybody to do that. But in summary, basically, the module system is similar to the PHPBB module system. You know, everything is run off the URL, what is passed in that, but it's not database-driven. Some features include a REST API almost built into the module system. So, say someone sends a form on your site to the module system will automatically say, okay, we have a submit action that we need to dispatch before we do anything else. And so less overhead as far as, okay, checking to see if this request is a submit in the module, actually in the module, now is only doing the actual work that needs to be done on that page instead of the dirty work and seeing what needs to be done. The module system basically decides what needs to be done and then tells the module system that, and the module system goes from there.
So now what about the CodeIgniter extensions that I was showing you? Have you implemented any of those yet?
Oh, yes. We did implement a CSS XSS clean
CSS XSS clean?
XSS. XSS, clean.
The security function class that they have.
Yes, that allows us to display basically HTML and be somewhat safe. It's not completely safe, however, so and HTML is only going to be allowed in the ACP for users to customize the content.
And for anyone wondering what XSS is, it is xylophone stage setting.
Yes, precisely.
Okay, cross-site scripting. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Xylophone stage setting, huh?
And of course, more information and to follow the WSBI development, you can find it at wsbi.assembler.com.
Yeah. That's WHIZBY. WHIZBY. WSBI.assembler.com. And I hope everybody knows how to spell assembler.
And make sure if you don't,
we can't help you.
Assembler too early, or you might get redirected to a not so good site. That's happened before.
Okay.
Now, to download WSBI, you do need to use Git. If you don't know how to use Git, learn how to use it.
Well, currently, until it's released. Once it's released, then that won't be necessary. But right now, if you want to run it off of the repository, we are running it off of Git. Also, Git is Jeff's worst nightmare.
So you have to get Git to make it work.
Git.
Yes, Git drives Jeff mad.
Git should get SVN.
So, new subject.
There was an interesting topic on phpv.com in the mod requests forum that I came across. Actually, I think it was Sam Thompson, Sam T, who posted or pointed me to this particular topic, if I remember correctly. And it was interesting. In the mod request, the mod request is a big black hole. I don't know if you guys knew that, but the mod request is really just a big black hole. People post their mod request there, and if someone is kind enough to go through
it. It won't be staying that way very long.
No.
Hit, nudge, nudge.
The mod request on phpv.com, okay. And what's kind of interesting about it, people will post the request, I want this particular mod built. And other people will come along and say, well, here's a mod that maybe closely matches what you're asking for. Have you ever seen something in the mod requests where a mod author has taken it up and actually developed it based on the mod request? I mean, I know what I've seen, but I'm just wondering if you've ever seen any.
Not really.
I have seen couple. Jim A said I did twice.
I actually created a mod based on a mod request.
In there?
Yes. That was at your request, actually. You told me there was a mod that was highly requested and suggested that I build it.
That was Topics Anywhere. You were already doing that mod build, weren't you?
No, I hadn't. Yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we went for a little drive and I programmed it in the car.
But anyway, this one topic, mod request somebody posted, which said that, they wanted this some sort of troll type of mod. And nobody posted anything after him. And he's like, what, nobody's interested in this? And then a couple people came and tried to post links to mods that had a similar name, but not exactly what he was looking for. So what he ended up doing was posting that that he thought the mod was too complex for the mod author for the author community, and so therefore they couldn't do it.
That's not a way to get people to do mods.
good way to blackmail. He's trying to essentially coerce people into developing that particular mod. Of course, it doesn't work, but it kind of got me thinking about it. And there is a lot of raw talent within the mod author community. However, there are also some really, really talented developers in that community as well. And it got me thinking, why You know, based on the discussion and that topic and that, you know, I said basically, you know, your mod is really, really simple, but did you ever consider the fact that nobody's actually interested in it? And he doesn't, he's like, no, that can't be. It can't be that nobody's interested in it. I just think that nobody is talented enough to develop it. Like, okay, well, you know, that's really funny, but it would take me literally 5 minutes to develop your mod. And it kind of got me thinking, what is it that motivates a developer to take on a mod, to take on a request? So they see a request and they decide to develop it. What would motivate you to do that? I love the dead silence.
Silence is golden. Oh, you're talking to us.
Are you wanting me to fill in the blank there?
Yeah, fill in the blank. What motivates you to
I'll go ahead and start with this. Probably everybody's aware of the advanced payment gateway system mod that's been in development probably for 2 years now, maybe a year and a half. But what got me motivated to develop that, even though it was a highly requested mod, is that is something that I know people would download and I know can generate an income from donations. Not necessarily a big income, but a slight stab at what it costs to develop something like that. Mm-hmm. So I think people really try to find a mod that they're interested in before they develop it, and they want to make sure that the community will be interested in it as well. Because you don't want to go and spend, you know, 8 hours developing a mod and, you know, come back a week later and see, oh, I got one download. Sweet. So...
Mm-hmm. France, what would motivate you to develop a mod that is requested?
Okay, two things would either be if I want it for my own site, in this case Star Trek Guide, that would motivate me to create it, or if I was paid to do it, where, you know, basically somebody would sponsor the mod. So that I could make some income doing it.
Jeff, have you ever taken on a mod request?
Oh, we still have Jeff in the call.
Huh. Did we leave him on? Oh, whoops. Didn't mean to do that.
I have taken mod requests, but mostly from customers, so I was getting paid. Okay. But if I was to do a community mod, I would probably have to make some sort of income, but also it's the support. So maybe if Mike did the support for it, I wouldn't mind doing one.
Oh. You know how much support my mods get currently. The few that I have.
So now Jim Ang says he did twice. So I'm curious at what was his motivation for doing taking on those mod requests. I know I have three. So one is if I actually want to use the mod myself. If I see a mod request and it's like, okay, I'd like to actually use that myself on our own board, which is Star Trek Guide, then I would take it on. Number two would be if somebody's actually paid me to create the mod. And number three is if I thought the mod could somehow generate a lot of traffic or income. Not that the donations actually generate a lot of income, but at least it does help pay for hosting.
It helps offset the development costs and the host and stuff.
Now, speaking of support, I probably have the single most supported mod on either Star Trek Guide or PHPPP.
You mean one where it has the most posts to your topic, to the support topic?
Yes.
Yeah. And I can say that's... Go ahead, Jeff.
And it's for the simplest mod, besides. It's only 2 minutes to stop.
Yeah, the Ajax chat, for anybody that was wondering.
You know, Paul from the... Paul Sawyer from the PHPB team, he created an Ajax chat mod as well, and he got so sick of the support requests for it, because it was just, he was flooded with it, that people not reading the topic, he said, that he ended up ending support for that mod and quit developing it completely due to that fact alone.
Now, for me, I don't personally support the Ajax chat mod. I have a couple people that do it for me. But we have guys like Lost Mind on Star Trek Guide, who is now... on the support team at Star Trek Guide, because he's doing such a great job supporting my mods for me. And let's see. Occasionally, Ed. Well, if there's anything style related, Ed Sniper E will support it.
Yeah, that's been great because I've had a few mods on PHPB.com where PHPB.com I should say, where I have had some community, some prominent community members, just kind of take on the task of supporting the mods, and they're, you know, that has been so helpful. And one of them, speaking of which, actually made it onto the moderator team on phppb.com.
You know, I found out that good documentation can help, but I'm interested to see how many people read the documentation. Normal users, that do they just go to the support form, or do they go, you know, to the documentation if it's good? I found that it does help in a way, but, you know, how many people actually read documentation?
If you include, like, a README doc that has frequently asked questions and frequently asked support questions.
Yes, or the classic, you know, this mod requires PHP 5.2 or above. Obviously, a lot of people don't read that. But
how about the classic 2 pages of licenses and rules? Yo. Many people read them.
I do. Every mod I download.
Well, one of the biggest support issues with the Ajax chat mod is something that's in the install file, the modx file. It tells you where to go to install the database, and I don't think anybody reads that because they always end up in the support topic going, I got a blank page when trying to do this.
Well, that's where you have the automatic redirect to go install it, hopefully.
Yeah.
Of course, that was created before the days of UMIL, the installer for it, I should say.
So what do... So a user requesting a mod, what do they have to expect to get their mod created by a mod author? What do they need to do? If they're requesting a mod, and, you know, nobody is... You know, like this particular guy, he's been waiting so long, he keeps bumping his topic because nobody's been developing his mod... And he's getting frustrated. What does he need to do to get somebody to develop his mod?
Well, pretty much.
Patient. Be patient and kind. You know, karma. Karma is the worst thing that can happen to you, so.
Okay, all patience does is gets your topic moved down the list in the forum and into the black abyss of the mod.
Okay, well, maybe not patience like that, but. You know,
bumping your topic drives anybody away.
It will drive people nuts, sure, but at least it doesn't fall into the black abyss, right?
Well, it's just as bad. So anybody that notices it, then...
So how do users requesting mod, how do they get it developed in those cases?
Osmosis?
Is it impossible? Their mod can't be developed?
It's not impossible, it just... If you were to go request a mod, and coming from a developer standpoint, if I am going to find a mod that somebody wants, I need to see the details of what they want. It's just like when you're working for a client, and it's like, okay, I need this. Well, okay, great, you need this application. What do you want this application to do exactly? What kind of features do you want in this application? And if you can create a roadmap, so to say, for the people, or the developer that might take on the project, well, that developer doesn't have to do that thinking. They can just be like, oh, okay, I can just go program this up now, and, you know, hopefully they'll be happy to support it if bugs come across. Because if you request a mod and you stop showing interest, well, that kind of defeats the whole purpose. If the mod gets developed and, you know, the mod author is basically the only one behind it now, not even the person that brought it up in the first place.
So if the user supplied a detailed document stating, you know, exactly how the mod should work and what it should do and everything like that, that would cause...
I'm not really saying that would cause the mod authors to take up mod requests, but, you know, I could see how that would help. And you do have to realize that, okay, the developer may want to help the community develop a mod, but they don't have the time to put in for all the features that you want. So, you know, in a way, an outline can be bad because you could request too many features and it could just get
overwhelming. But then in a way, the mod also could be like, okay, hey, I can do this, or I can do this part of it and at least get the project going and maybe gain interest from other people.
Now, the topic that we were referencing for this PHPBB weekly topic, this mod author actually has it, I won't say well documented, but it's a very simple mod.
Simple mod, and it's clear what he wants done.
It's very clearly explained, yeah, so there's no question. So it's not a matter of difficulty or
lack of document,
lack of documentation, or too many features.
Plus, if we post a link, he's getting free advertisement on PHBB Weekly,
which is why we're not posting the link. So what in his case, what would cause a mod author to take on his mod? Is it would anybody even do it?
Yes, I think they would. And see, on Star Trek Guide, we have a forum called Work for Hire, and where anybody can
let's not talk about promoting the Work for Hire forum.
Is that the only way that the mod author would, the user could get? Other than if they're not getting any activity, is that their only other option?
As far as this guy's topic, I think that's his only option.
Well, now why do you say that? What's the reasoning behind that? Because not everybody can go and support or pay for a mod to be released. So there has to be a good way to get developers interested in developing something for the community.
Well, like I said, you either have to suggest a mod that will be very popular, or pay somebody to do it. That's pretty much it. Because right now, the mod that he's suggesting, it does not look like it would be a popular mod at all.
So most mod authors, I think, would say, okay, you know what, I don't want to take on that mod because it's not going to be popular. Why should I do it in that case? And I think their only other option would be, okay, well, I would do it if I were paid to do it, but that would be it. So in his case, maybe paying a developer would be his only other alternative if nobody else is willing to do it.
Or if a mod author wanted it for their own site, right, which so far it looks like that isn't the case in this for this particular mod.
You know, requesting mods has never been easy, and, you know, hopefully that'll change. But coming from a user standpoint where I was, you know, a couple of years ago, it can be very difficult to get a developer interested. So, yes, paying is always going to get a developer interested, but, you know, obviously people can't pay all the time. So, if you're looking to get a mod developed and you don't have the resources to have it paid for, offset the development costs, if you can get a group of people interested and get a couple developers together, maybe collaboration on working towards the end result of getting the mod released would help.
No, one of the main reasons why I think PHPBB is free and will always be is that so many people need it. You know, and so you have...
Right, yeah. That's why people use it.
Right. And, you know, you have a group of developers that, you know, use it for themselves. Of course, not all the developers use it for themselves, but, you know, that was my motivation for getting involved with PHPBB and helping in development of certain things like mods and stuff, was that, you know, I needed it for our site, which we were starting, you know, years back, Star Trek Guide.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, of course, PHPBB will always be free, as they mentioned. At least we hope it will be.
Now, I think people need to understand that a lot of really, especially talented PHP developers, or, you know, developers within the mod author community, they are...
Michael. It was Michael's cell phone again.
My bad.
Now, I think they, you know, obviously there are a lot of really talented developers within the PHPB community, and, you know, their jobs, for a lot of them, is professional development. For others, it's a hobby. But they're always being asked to do stuff. You know, there's a lot of people pulling on their shirts saying, hey, you know, can you develop this or develop that or whatever. So they can spend a lot of time going through and trying to create stuff. And so their time is extremely valuable. And They, you know, it has to be worth their while to develop a mod when it's brought up, and by either using it themselves, by they can see that it generates a lot of traffic, or if none of those two apply, then the user who's requesting the mod, they can't just expect to have developers invest their free time for their benefit, for the user's benefit. You know, they have to be willing to give up something or put something up or coordinate somehow. You know, you have to look at alternatives and say, okay, well, if I'm not willing to put up any money for this and nobody seems to want this mod, will it get developed? And the answer might be no. So they have to kind of look at that and say, okay, you know, maybe I need to put up a little money to have a developer do it. Because there's a lot of developers on PHP.com that'd be willing to create stuff for a small fee. So that's certainly one option. All right, I wanted to move on to another topic. This was actually inspired by a story from Jeff. There was somebody who had asked you. Jeff, why don't you tell the story?
Well, the story behind it is kind of not a good story, but what it came down to is the guy was saying, if I'm a developer, why am I using open source software instead of developing my own? And obviously, who's going to sit down and develop a forum software all by themselves? I mean, you need a team of developers like the PHBB development team. And it's just not a feasible task.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting point. Yeah, why would that person think if you were an actual developer that you wouldn't be developing all your own software for your own usage? They obviously
I've talked to companies, development companies specifically, though, and anytime you say that you are interested in the open source community, they are like, oh, that's great. And that is because the open source community is starting to grow, and Google is really starting to get behind it. I mean, now we have the Google Wave, which is going to be open source. I'm not sure if anybody's familiar with Etherpad, but Etherpad is now an open source project. And these projects are so complex and so, large in a way to say, even PHPBB is a big project, and it's been in development for a long time.
10 years.
That if you were a development company and saying, okay, let's go create a system like PHPBB, the reasoning behind that is got to be really good if it's going to be beneficial to put all the money into that project instead of using the open source software as a base and then developing it off of that. And it's like, I've built websites for people, and it's like, it's a lot easier to go and use WordPress, although I don't really want to promote WordPress, but it's a lot easier to use that than to go and build a completely custom application and have the development costs go through the roof where it's to the point where they can't afford it and you don't get the project anymore. Mm-hmm. So open source definitely offsets development costs, and I think that's why a lot of developers use the open source community.
Mm-hmm. And this kind of brought up an interesting point of something that we were discussing the other day, which was Assembla. You can get private hosting for Assembla from anywhere from $3,000 to $20,000. And the question was, well, why would you do that instead of having, if you were a development company and said, okay, we want to use the Assembla system, which has some awesome, awesome tools that I haven't found anywhere else. And you know, if you wanted to use those type of tools as a development company, why would you pay, number one, would you pay the $3,000 to $20,000? Now, of course, it depends on how many users you want to put on the system.
Oh, no, not this discussion again.
But would you do that instead of developing your own? The thing with that, I think, is that, people, let's say you have 500 developers, you know, so you would pay the $20,000 price tag to get it on your own server, and would you do that instead of developing your own? I think yes. The answer is yes, you would, because developing your own might cost you $150,000 to $200,000 or more to get a base system going. I mean, looking at the Assembla system, what's your estimated cost for development of that system, France?
Let's see. It has been in development for how many years now?
I don't know. It's several years for sure, but
So let's say at least 2 years.
No, it's longer than that. More like four plus since I've known about it.
Okay, so 4 years, and if you have, let's say, four developers working on it full time, let's say five. If you have five developers working on it full time for 4 years, that is.
Okay, that's $500,000 per year.
Right. So you're talking probably close to $2 million.
Yeah. $2 million.
Not including all the time that it takes to debug and everything else.
Well, no, that would be included because that's your, you've got full time developers. Say you have four or five full time developers working full time for 4 years or 5 years on the project, then it would be about $2 million. So anywhere between $1 and $2 million to develop that software. And so that's, they've gotten it to a certain level. So why reinvent the wheel? And it's the same reason that we would use software like PHBBB and Joomla and WordPress and other open source softwares is that as developers and as, for the companies that we want to work for, you don't want to keep reinventing the wheel because each time you reinvent the wheel, it's a pretty big cost, if you wanted to redevelop PHBBB, a PHBBB type bulletin board software from the ground up, your cost is going to be over $500,000, I think.
And what company is going to pay that?
Right, exactly.
If they're hiring you.
Right. They would rather have you use that open source software and modify it to their needs rather than have you completely develop a new one from the ground up. The only reason they might have you develop a new one from the ground up is if they plan on selling it, reselling it.
And, that's a possibility, too. I've had a client that says, okay, let's try to make this so that we can resell it. But then, it's like, okay, well, we can do that, but then everything that redevelop either has to be our own code or it has to be able to be licensed to be resold. And finding software that you can resell, so to say, in a package can be a little bit tricky. So.
Yes, indeed it can. So let's see. I want to go ahead and wrap this up in just a minute with a Modern Style of the Week, but I just realized that I don't actually have a Modern Style of the Week because I was expecting Douglas to be here. While I'm searching out the Modern Style of the Week, Francis, you pick something to discuss.
Well, we could discuss what's going on in Star Trek Guide, but that might not be the best idea.
We'll save that for our next Star Trek Guide Weekly.
Well, now what is going on at Star Trek Guide? I think a lot of people don't even know.
Well,
no,
don't you think we shouldn't tell them?
Yeah, a lot of people won't know until we know every release date.
Well, now Jordan doesn't even know, and doesn't he live with you?
Does Jordan know?
That's well, not the full detail.
He shook his head and said no, he doesn't know.
Our own staff doesn't even know about this project, so I guess we can't tell.
What we're doing is we are not saying anything so that somebody can't say when is it going to be released, and we don't say when it's finished.
People know we're going to be doing something else, so they're going to be like, well, what are you doing, and when are you going to release it? Well, what are we doing, and when are we going to release it? Well,
when it's ready, of course.
I don't even know if we have a project going on.
We have three. We have three projects. Everybody knows we have three projects going on.
Well, one of them is the WSBI CMS.
Yes.
And
another one is.
The WSBI CMS yeah. is almost released, and it's available for download, which is why we're mentioning it. The other two are not released or available for download, and we don't have a time frame for them, so we are not mentioning them at this time. When we have a time frame for them, then we will mention it.
Have you ever watched Star Trek?
Never.
Of course. Yeah. And have you ever seen Krenim or Krenim? I don't know how you say Krenim. That, but I watched that episode.
You did?
That looks like a pretty good little
Yes, it's from thing. The year...
I don't know how to explain it, but...
Yeah, it's from the Year of Hell, Star Trek Voyager, Parts 1 and Part 2. And we're developing this project called Krenim. And there's a reason, because the Krennum, Imperium, which is what it's called from Star Trek, is this empire that everything that they have is based around a temporal timeline. So they have this time weapon, which erases stuff from history. Like they can point it at a planet and erase that race from history, and it alters
like
the timeline of the universe.
Douglas Bell from PHPB Weekly.
Who's Douglas Bell?
Exactly.
So anyway, it's we chose that name for this project because it's somehow related to the project.
Somehow related.
Now, what that project is, we'll let you decide. But.
Yes, we'll leave that up to your imagination as to what that is or what it could do.
And now I'm probably going to get slapped after this podcast for mentioning that, but David took it, so.
It's okay, because saying Krennum doesn't actually tell you what exactly it is.
Exactly.
Krennum.
Yes, it's also difficult to say three times fast.
So.
Okay.
That was five times.
All right, moving on to the modern style of the wink.
Modern style of the wink.
The first one, the mod of the week, and Francis, you're going to have to go find the style of the week.
Oh, you should have told me a few minutes ago. Come on.
Now let Jeff go and find it. He's a style team leader.
Yeah, Jeff, do you have a style of the week for us?
What is this?
No, that's the mod of the week. I'll explain it in a second. But Jeff, do you have a style of the week?
Yeah, no, he just posted it. Okay, let's see.
Who did?
It's coming. It is.
Yep, looks good.
Who?
Oh, that sucks, man.
No, I like that. That's really where'd you post that link?
Okay, hang on. It's coming. It's coming.
Okay, I see it.
So
right.
I'll announce it. You worry about the mod of the week.
No, let Jeff announce it. He's the one that found it.
Yeah, Jeff.
Well, I'm trying to get rid of Winter.
You are.
I want to move on.
That's a funny reason.
We weren't sure if Jeff still existed on this call.
Sure. I'm just the quiet guy in the corner.
In his little timeout.
All right, mod of the week, link is in the chat room, is called Post Expire by Crazy Gandalf. And
What chat room?
It's in the PHPB Weekly Ustream chat.
Oh, Ustream chat, okay. Yeah, I was in the PHPB Weekly.
20 minutes to install. Oh, looks very interesting, though.
20 minutes, good honk. You know, and part of that is it's the fact that the PHBBB posting API, or it's not even API, you can't call it that.
Posting API does not exist for PHBBB.
The posting system is a pain in the... Oh, it is such a pain to work with. It is really, I mean, it can just drive your goose up a wall. The other thing is the moderator control panel. That's the other thing that could just drive you up a wall. I created a mod called the topic tags prefix mod that was based on a mod request from a friend, and he convinced me somehow, he coerced me more like, that this particular mod
would be extremely popular.
Okay, Michael, turn it down.
My bad.
And so he had me create this mod, and I had to work with the poll posting and topic system, and it was a nightmare. And the main problem with it is the fact that when creating mods for PHPBB, I am so focused on creating the most compatible mods possible, right? So that means
we're really getting off topic here.
No. Listen for a second. This is in relation to this, because the reason it's 20 minutes to install is because of this. When the posting system within PHPB is such a pain to actually integrate with, that there are so many modifications to that system that you would have to do if you want to make any changes or additions to that system. And the installation time was actually fairly long for what I did as well. And it is a pain. So that's why it's 20 minutes. It's nothing to say bad about the mod, because I don't know anything about the mod. But if you are integrating with the post and topic system on PHBBB, you're looking at least 20 minutes to install anything, unless of course you use AutoMod, which you should use. It definitely makes this sort of thing much easier. Okay, so this mod called Post Expire by Crazy Gandalf. The description of it is: when posting, you can set expire time of the post. If this is the first post in the topic, expire refers to this entire topic. You can set to delete the post or topic after expired time, or to lock, move, or lock and move the topic. Expire time is displayed on view topic page in case of posts and on view form page in case of topics. The mod is fully configurable and allows to set users' permissions. So this is really cool. So like you can set a topic to be, you know, I could see where you have an announcement topic or something like that. The only thing is, if it only locks and moves or locks or moves or locks and moves, then you can't set the topic status from like announcement to something else. But it would be really interesting because, you know, you can have a topic automatically lock after a period of time. That seems really cool. So anyway,
you can already have it downgrade to a normal topic after a certain period of time as well. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thanks for that reminder. I forgot about that. So
let's not reinvent the wheel here.
So this is a pretty cool mod. That's a Post Expire by Crazy Gandalf. Okay, Jeff, style of the week.
Style of the week is beach. It has the nice island warm type feel.
And it makes me want summer.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, you winter haters, you.
It's got kind of a Hawaiian shirt type background and some bamboo wrappers around the forum list.
It looks really cool, actually.
It's different.
It's if you have a Hawaii site, this would be perfect for it. And if you're hating winter, it would also be perfect for it. Now, in my case, I'm still looking forward to winter. We haven't gotten winter here yet.
We're still looking forward to the 2 to 3 feet that needs to come and dump on the ground here.
It's a nice, beautiful, sunny, blue sky day out.
Yes, it is. And guess where we're going today, Michael?
Where?
We're going to the mountain.
How are you going to go skiing? There's hardly any snow.
No, on the mountain. We skied yesterday. They were getting fresh powder yesterday. And we skied down two-phase. Let me tell you, that was a challenge. That was the hardest skiing I've ever done.
For anybody listening, please stay off the mountain so that you don't overcrowd it while we're there. Thanks.
Don't they make snow there?
On Mount Spokane? No, they don't.
They make snow. Fun skiing because snowboarding is a lot better.
Well, okay, then come snowboard with us today.
I don't have a snowboard, and I gotta go do other stuff.
Yeah, that's what you told me 2 years ago.
I really do have to go do stuff today.
All right, so this is
you know, we're forgetting something. Forgetting a topic that I think we should bring up. Star Trek Guide is going to be releasing some helpful classes, so to say.
Oh yeah.
Wait, do you actually have a release date for those?
Actually, one could get released tonight. That could. Being...
Oh, okay, then you can mention it. Okay.
A forum class, and basically this forum class will allow you to create forums like you can in the ACP. However, it has a nice API, so you don't have to copy and paste a bunch of code, of course.
So now, does it have validation with it?
It does have validation, and it will support AJAX. So you can say, okay, this is an AJAX call, and we don't need to output all the HTML. We just need to return, is everything valid? And if it's not valid, you know, let us know what's not valid, so we can go from there.
So now, if I wanted to create a user registration form, that's aside from the actual normal registration form that comes with PHBBB, could I use this?
Yes, you could. You would set up a new page, of course, and you would set up this class and pass it, you know, an array of form fields that you want to display. It supports everything really, from, you know, an integer, which is just a string, but it can validate all that and supports file input, or it will.
Email input?
Email, yes. Validation will be, you know, email numbers. Validation to begin with will be kind of weak, but it will support basic validation, or you can create your own validation call for it. Mm-hmm. And another tool that we will be releasing is a notification class. And the notification class will use the email and PM system so that you can easily send a private message or an email. If you've ever worked with the email or private message system, you know that it requires a lot of code to just get the PM sent.
It's kind of like the non-existing posting API.
Exactly.
So this is what is this creating a, basically an API for the private message system?
Yes. Basically, you would say, okay, I want this message to be sent to private messages via private message and email to these users. Here is the subject, and here is the message sent. And that's all you have to do.
Cool.
So basically, you can send a private message or an email in four lines of code or less.
Okay, so everybody check StarTrekGuide.com. Every 5 minutes to see when the announcement will be released.
No. Please don't check it every 5 minutes because we're already on a server that we pushed to the limit. So we don't need to kill it. But yeah, that's kind of a little update on what
are we pushing that server to its limits yet?
Yes, actually, not just the server, but the host is. Their router has been overtaxed. They have new routers that are coming in, but they have not received them yet.
Yep. Oh, okay.
And these new routers should basically give them probably at least another several years. Basically be another several years before they'll need any more routers, because these are really good routers they're getting.
Sweet. Okay. All right.
So that wraps up Star Trek Guide Weekly. Thank you for joining us today. And have a good one.
That sounds so sad.
What's that? That sounds very low def.
It's from the movie.
What movie?
Star Trek.
The new one?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
No, we have the. We will be seeing that one very soon.
I haven't seen that movie yet, but we will see it soon. So, PHPB Weekly, you can visit our website at phpbweekly.net for all past shows. And you can view the descriptions for the next upcoming shows, or leave a comment for the existing shows there. You can also visit PHPBB Weekly's forum on StarTrekGuide.com. And if you have suggestions, or if you'd like to post a guest request, I'm still trying to get somebody from jQuery over. Might have Paul Irish, but I'm really hoping to get John Resig. So, continuing to pound them and try and get something from them because they've been so busy. That
we need to start a John Resig log.
Yes.
Let's just go make your own jQuery library. And
okay, here we go. Day one, John Resig did not call.
Yes.
We will keep you informed of breaking news to the John Resig log as it happens.
Yes, indeed. All right, so that sums up this episode of February 13th, 2010, I should say. And visit us next week. Next live episode should be February 20th.
And I think Douglas Bell is coming out of retirement, isn't he?
Yeah, he will be coming back out of retirement.
No, actually, we're going to untie him and allow him to come back onto the show next week.
Yeah, I don't think he liked his retirement, so he's wanting to come back. So I guess we'll let him.
Yeah, he's in there kicking and screaming, so I think we can go ahead and let him go.
We'll close the show up and let him out. All right.
It was fun while it lasted.
Thank you to Jeff and Michael and Francis for being here on the show today while Douglas was sleeping. Thank you, guys. And
yeah, no problem. That was fun.
And and be sure to catch us next time. And that's it for PHPB Weekly. Remember, a successful community begins with you. Tag, you're it.
You're it.
Bye, everyone.
I'm it. Yay!